Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were talking about a man in Bible times coming to get his bride when their wedding day had come. Let's continue with that thought today. Foundation for the Bible stands. When you're in hell, if you die without Christ, which you will be in hell, then he will not care. Nor would he be able to help those sheep, his sheep, because they rejected Christ. He can't help his sheep out. Can't help them out of hell. It can't help them to endure. You see, in hell, Satan too will be tormented. As a matter of fact, hell was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Now you think about that. That place was created to torment super spirits. If it torments super spirits, then what about us? Wow. And Satan cannot help you. Now our Lord has a place for each of us who have received him as our Lord and Savior. And that is a preserved and prepared place for us. And it is a promise. Oh boy, it has a great promise to go with it. Remember in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, a mansion was a room that was built on in that day. And what would happen is they had betrothals. Now, betrothal, to break a betrothal called for divorce. God doesn't divorce. But what would happen in that day is that there'd be an agreed price, and the father would go out and he'd ask the father of the young lady, you know, what's the price and so forth. And they would come out. It might be some camels and sheep. It might be some gold. It might be some other things. But whatever it is, the agreement would be made. And then the son, when the agreement is made, would return to the house and begin to build a room onto that house. And that room, it might take up to a year. They'd be building on, and then would come a day when it was finished. That room would be the room of he and his bride at his father's house. Oh, you can see where I'm going, can't you? And so what he would do is he would come back, that groom, and he would stand outside the bride's house, and he'd call her name to come. Now, he didn't go and knock on the door. He didn't go in the house and get her. He called her out, and she would come out, and they would go back to the father's house where there'd be a marriage feast. That marriage feast would continue for many times 7 days. But each night at the end of the evening, that bride and groom would retire to the room, the mansion, for them, their honeymoon suite. A lot of times we think of mansions being like the palaces that you've seen in Europe. And those are very nice places, but I think that even though the mansion is a room, I don't think anything will match or even come close to matching the room that we have in heaven. Oh, listen, many mansions. What is that place? Well, Revelation chapter 21 tells us that it is a distance that would match. It's four square, and so it is wide and deep and high in all directions. I think it's 12,000 furlongs, not looking at it right now. But just think of that. The distance would be the same as from Denver, Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean wide, from Denver to the Atlantic Ocean deep, and from Denver to the Atlantic Ocean high. That would be the size of this golden city. Its streets are of gold that are so pure that it's as transparent glass. The gates are of pearl, each gate of one pearl. Now, if you've ever gone oystering and oyster hunting and things like that, I've done that before, and there's a desire to open that oyster and see if there's a pearl in there, and that's never happened with me. But what kind of an oyster? That the entire gate, and it's a huge gate, is of one pearl. It has 12 foundations, all of them of very, very precious stones that are described for us in Revelation 21. There's 12 foundations like that. They have the names of the apostles on them. The gates have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the throne of God is there. And the brightness of it is so bright that it's 7 times brighter. I didn't say hotter, but brighter than the sun. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Now you imagine that pure gold and those various jeweled foundational stones. And that bright light shining through them, oh, the new earth will have a beautiful sight to see. Nothing like that. We talk about wonders of the world. They've never had a wonder that's going to be this great. And in Christ, he's preparing a place for us. That's our home. Wow. And not only has that place been prepared, but listen to this, a promise that we get in Revelation 21, 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now understand, we've had the tribulation, the millennium, those that try to rise up against God one more time, and they're finally cast into the eternal lake of fire from the white throne judgment, and then the eternal kingdom is set up. And this is how that eternal kingdom starts, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more separation from God for those people. They'll never be separated again. Their spirits will always be there with him. Why? Because he's purified them. He's cleansed them of their sin by his precious blood. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, just think about that. Little children with cancer. You ever see the St. Jude's home on the TV, and as they're trying to raise funds for that, and you see those precious children, and it breaks your heart. And I've walked into places of retirement homes and walked through there, and I'll just see people that were once great people, you know, and now they're just shells of their former self that can hardly talk, can hardly do things, and can't do much for themselves. Okay. There's no more pain, and the former things are passed away. We're going to have a body made like unto his glorious body, fashioned. These old vile bodies put off, he'll fashion a new body on us around this spirit that he has cleansed and made righteous. The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, he that sits on the throne is Jesus Christ. It is at that name that every knee shall bow, things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. No wonder the Apostle John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. What is so interesting is that in Revelation chapter 19, I think again in verse 22, chapter 22 or chapter 21 or 22, that twice the messenger, which I believe is not an angel as we think of an angel, but I think it's one of the resurrected saints. And he's showing John the apostle all these things. And he starts to bow down to worship him on two different occasions. And both times he's told, hey, worship God. I am of thy brethren, the prophets. So when he says, I'm of thy brethren, the prophets, that's how we know that he was a resurrected Christian. You see, angel means messenger. And so as a messenger there now, he is showing John the eternal city, but he's showing him what it's going to be in the future. But no wonder John's seen the glorified body. And I think of those in Revelation chapter 6, the souls under the altar that had been slain for the name of Christ and for his testimony. All of a sudden, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge?" And he gave them robes, and he tells them to be patient, to wait. But, oh, they saw those glorified bodies that had glorified bodies, and they wanted the same. There must be something great about that glorified body. And so John would, even though he'd seen Jesus transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, and got rebuked there with James and Peter because they were going to build three tabernacles, he said, "No, here, this is my son, hear him." But, oh my goodness, what is it like? What is it like? John said, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Yeah, he knew there were loved ones that would be going to hell, but when he saw the beauty of that place, he didn't want it contaminated at all. And so, the former things are passed away, and he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." You see, the end result is worth it all. So live righteously and holy all your days. You will be opposed, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Live righteously and holy by God's word and by God's power. Now, going back to our text, and I just kind of got carried away there, but when you talk about heaven, you ought to get carried away a little bit. Assyria had confidence. Along with its king and nobles, they had great confidence, but their confidence is in the great deceiver, the one who is the father of lies. And therefore, that is a misplaced confidence and trust. Because Satan is never worthy of any trust. We see a similarity with the Antichrist in the last days of the tribulation. Because of the advancement in science, military, and other areas of academia and the economy, they have an arrogant attitude of, "Who can make war with me?" We see the Antichrist declaration in Psalm 76, verses 5 and 6. "The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep. And none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep." Oh, they will realize. They'll realize that God is moving when the blood flows to the horse's bridle in that valley of Megiddo.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.